It is in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We hope not to be with you long, but give you what the Lord has given us. Hopefully you won't laugh when you hear the text of the message this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'll begin reading for you with verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Notice it says, "I have commanded." Woo! Isn't it so good when God commands something for you? Fifth verse says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Verse 7 says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Just for a little while, I want to use a subject in your hearing this morning. Ease on down the road. Ease on down the road. And for a subtopic, follow Jesus. Ease on down the road. You might say, "Well, Pastor, what are you talking about?" Ease on down the road is a song used in the Broadway musical The Wiz in 1975, which was adapted from the original novel written by Frank Baum in 1900, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, as well as from the movie of the same, directed by Victor Fleming in 1939, that featured Judy Garland. The music and lyrics to Ease On Down the Road were written by composer Charlie E. Smalls, and simply says, "Come on, ease on down the road. Don't you worry, don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Come on, ease on down the road." This simple song was an R&B reinterpretation of the songs "Follow the Yellow Brick Road" and "We're Off to See the Wizard" from that 1939 movie. In the original Broadway production of The Wiz, this song is sung three times by Stephanie Mills, at that time, who played Dorothy. Hinton Battle, the Scarecrow. Tiger Haynes, the Tin Man. And Ted Ross, the Cowardly Lion. As they wandered down the yellow brick road in search of the Emerald City, seeking the help of a supposedly powerful wizard who they believed held the power to send Dorothy and her dog Toto home to Auntie M and Uncle Henry, as well as provide her newfound friends with the things that they believed they lacked. The Scarecrow, a brain. The Tin Man, a heart. And the Cowardly Lion, courage. The Wizard of Oz is a novel, a children's story, fiction, that describes imaginary events and people. However, in some ways, it bears more than a slight resemblance to the life of a child of God. We too are strangers here. If I can borrow the words from Dorothy Norwood, traveling through this barren land in search of a home, a building in glory, not made by hand. Nonetheless, there are distinct differences from our lives and this story. First and foremost, you and I are real. We have not been made up. Our lives are not imaginary. We eat, breathe, sleep, yet we recognize, as Acts tells us in the 17th chapter and the 28th verse, for in him we live, move, and have our being. Secondly, as a child of God, according to scriptures, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Third, the apostle Paul continues there in 2 Corinthians and says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we're not following a yellow, blue, green, or any other color brick road. But we're following the word of God by faith and not by sight. That's why the choir sang this morning, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Fourth, and most importantly, Paul also tells us, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Paul didn't just speak to the Corinthians, but to the Philippians as well in the second chapter, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Finally, I am in agreement with the words of the song Ease On Down the Road, when it says, don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Because the word of God tells us, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Child of God, we have a life to live, a race to run. And it's time, high time, that we begin to ease on down the road. In our text this morning, we're introduced to Elijah the prophet, who had an assignment, a mission from God, to turn the disobedient children of Israel to the knowledge of their God. In other words, they needed a brain. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to love the Lord their God. They needed a new heart. And finally, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you've got to be strong and courageous to do the will of God. So brain, heart, courage. Sounds like those three friends. Elijah was prepared for his mission. And he was here to follow the directions of God. When we find him in our text, we see that he confronts Ahab, who had allowed Jezebel to come into the land and set up idol worship to Baal, after which God directs him to ease on down the road. He goes eastward to the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, because the king is going to come after you when the famine gets into the land, seeking your life. But God tells Elijah, I will sustain you. He tells him, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The Bible allows us to know, and we just read it, that bread and flesh, they brought him in the morning. Bread and flesh, they brought him in the evening. And Elijah drank from the brook. Here, as so many times this has been preached, and I've preached here before, where ravens are scavengers and they don't bring stuff to nobody. It is not in their nature to do. However, when God commands somebody or something to do something, it is going to happen. Yes. There have been times when my enemy, y'all have enemies, and you know they mean you no good, but because God commanded them, they did some good for you. Amen. There have been times I knew when I was looking for a job in times past. They didn't want to hire me, but God had commanded them to hire me. When God speaks for you and when God commands, things are going to happen. So here, God commanded these ravens, which was against their nature, to bring Elijah food every morning and every evening. He had bread and flesh. In other words, he had a sandwich in the morning and a sandwich in the evening. Yes. And he drank from the brook. Everything seemed to be going all right. But see, just like Paul said, when you do good, evil is always present. The Bible says that the brook, after a while, dried up. Every now and then, one of the things that has been supporting you, whether it's your job or whether it's another avenue stream, has shut down on you. And you begin to wonder. But child of God, you need to hold on. Hallelujah. Because as was talked about in Sunday school this morning, and we know that all things work together for good. Everything is not good, but it works together for good. God was showing Elijah that I can provide for you no matter what. And so after the brook dried up, here we find Elijah waiting. But he didn't have to wait long because the Lord told him, here, rise. In other words, it's time for you to get up and ease on down the road. I've got another place for you to go. And as he tells him to get up, he tells him, arise and get thee to Zarephath, because now he's commanded something else to happen. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Elijah ain't got no more sense than to do what the will of God says. And he just went on and eased on down the road to Zarephath. When he gets there, see, it's important to be obedient to the word of God. We're out here because we're obedient to the word of God. Because whatever God has got for us is where we're going. And you're not here by happenstance this morning. You're here because God has brought you here. That's why he told them that I want you to go first to the brook of Cherith, because there is where I'm going to feed you. There is where I'm going to sustain you. Now he says, I want you to go to Zarephath, because there is where now I'm going to take care of you, and there I'm going to sustain you. When he gets there to the city, the Bible says that he sees this widow woman at the gate of the city, that she's gathering sticks, and he asks her, will you go and get me a little water? Hallelujah, in a vessel. And she's going to get the water in the vessel. He stops and said, well, and will you bring me a morsel of bread in your hand? It is here where the woman begins to let him know what is really going on in her life. So many times we run into people and situations where God has brought us into their way because they need to understand who Jesus is. Or they need to turn their heart to the Lord. Or they need to get some courage to walk with God. But for some reason, God has allowed people to come in contact with you so that they will get to know who Jesus is. The Bible says, here she began to explain to Elijah, you just don't know what I'm going through. I was here collecting sticks because I don't even have, hallelujah, enough meal to make a cake. All I've got is a little meal. And just a little oil in the cruise. And I was collecting two sticks, hallelujah, so that I could make this bread. And me and my son were going to eat it and die. She's told him, she says, everything is hopeless because of this famine. But the Bible says Elijah had the nerve to tell her. He says, I hear what you're saying. I know what you're going through. But I want you to go and do just what you said. But I want you to make me a cake first. Here, there'd been one of us, we put our hands on our hip. We might have told them a few choice words. But the woman has made up her mind. She said, I'm going to die anyway. And here, Elijah gave her some words. Here, he didn't just stop and say, just go ahead and do what you're going to do. But make me one first. But he says also, the Lord. Hallelujah. See, you got to put God into it. He said, the Lord has told me to tell you that your meal is not going to fail. Your oil is not going to run out until the day that it rains upon the land. The woman said, all right, you said the Lord said it. We're going to show fine out. As she eases on down. She makes him a cake, brings it to him, and goes back. And you know what? There's still meal. There's still oil. She made him a little hot water cornbread. And she was able to make her some for her and her son. Not just for that day. But the Bible says they ate from it for many days. How many realize that every time you need something, God is already providing. Every time it looked like it would run out, your God made increase. You thought you spent all your money, but every time you look in your wallet, there's a few more bills. Every time you open your pantry, there's a few more canned goods. God knows how to bless his people. All you've got to do is be obedient to the will of God. And while you're walking, while you're easing on down this Christian life, that God is making provision for you. Hallelujah. But see, everything seemed to be going again, going well. But the Bible said that one day, this woman's son got sick and died. Not only but sick, but there was no breath in him. She comes to Elijah and said, have you called my sins to before me? Oh, that you've taken my son. He grabs the child. Takes him into the loft where he's been staying. Lays him on his bed. Cries out to God. And says, Lord, have you come and done this to this woman that is sustaining me? That's taking care of me. That's feeding me. That you commanded that you were going to bless. The Bible says he stretches forth himself over the child three times. Hallelujah. Three times he stretches himself. And he calls on the Lord. Every now and then you got to realize that when you call on God, you might have to call him in the morning. You might have to call him in noonday. And you might have to call him in the evening. But child of God, I'm going to stretch out on the Lord. I'm going to stretch out on Jesus. Because that's where my help come from. I know that the world ain't got no help for me. But the Lord that I magnify and glorify. The Lord that I serve, the Lord that sits high and looks low, hallelujah, if I just call him long enough, if I just stay the course, he's going to hear my cry and answer by and by. The Bible said that the Lord heard Elijah and the breath come back into the child. He takes him down and hands him to her. She says, now I know
See, every now and then there's some things that gotta happen so that the world will know who Jesus is. So that the world will have a brain to understand that there was no way this could have happened other than the Lord that did it. And so now the woman said, now I know that thou art a prophet of the Lord, and the word of God is in your mouth. She said, now I can realize. She ought to have been able to realize that after every time she went to that barrel of meal, it was there. And every time she used some oil, it was there. But it took the death and the life of her child in order for her to realize how good God was. Every now and then, God's got to shake up the world. Every now and then, God's got to shake people up so they understand who he is and what he's capable of. Now God says, now it's time for you to go ahead and fulfill your mission. I want you to go and show yourself to Ahab. As he goes to show himself to Ahab, he runs into Obadiah, the governor of the Ahab's household. As he runs into him, he begins to say, now you tell Ahab that I'm here. Obadiah is scared. He says, surely when I leave, the spirit of the Lord is going to whisk you out somewhere. And then my master will kill me because I let you go. He says, I'm going to go and meet him. But you go and tell him. He goes and tell Ahab, and Ahab comes to him. And as Ahab sees him, he says, are you that Elijah that troubleth Israel? Elijah says, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel, but it's you that have brought in this Baal worship. You that have turned the people away from the true God. You who have brought this false religion. You have and let Jezebel wreak havoc in the land of God. You that have forgot about how God brought us up out of Egypt. You that have turned the people to do wickedly and do the things that they shouldn't do. But I'm here on assignment from God to tell the people of God that you gotta get a brain. In other words, you gotta get your mind right to understand who God is. You gotta get a heart. Oh, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You gotta get some courage to stand up against Jezebel and the other folk. You gotta follow not a yellow, not a blue, not a brown brick road, but you gotta follow the Lord by faith and believe that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you have to think. He tells them, you get together, all of Israel together, and meet me on Mount Carmel. Because see, it's going to be a showdown to know who God really is. They sent out the word, and everybody comes. He said, tell those 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of the groves to come too. Hallelujah, because we're going to have a showdown. He says to the people, how long hold ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. If Baal, then serve him. But he wants you to know. He said, we're going to get two bullocks. We're going to let them take one. And I'll take the other, dress it, put it on the wood. Don't put no fire under it. And call on your God. And I'll call on God. And we'll see whichever one answers by fire. That will be God. The people said, all right, that sound good to me. Here you go. He gives the prophets of Baal first choice. They got the choice of the bullock. They get the choice to start. And the Bible says in that 1 Kings 18 chapter that here they begin to go from morning unto noonday. And they were calling on Baal. Oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. They were crying, shouting, jumping up and down, leaping up and down on the altar. There's so many people that are calling on everything but God, thinking that it is God. We got people leaping and jumping up and down about Muhammad, about Buddha. They're even worshiping the Titans, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Minnesota Vikings. You see them on Sunday where they painted up their face, where they get all kind of costumes on. Anytime their team does something, they're up jumping. They're up screaming. But because we come to the church of the living God, and because we shout hallelujah, and because we jump and shout, because we dance and sing the praises of God, they think we're crazy. But you don't know what I'm jumping about. You don't know what I'm shouting about. You don't know what I'm praising him about. Because the God that I serve is doing more than scoring touchdowns. The God that I serve is providing for me. He's interceding for me. He's making ways for me. He's opened doors for me. It's in him that I live, move, and have my being. And I owe him the praise. Anyway, they're going to noonday. And now Elijah wants to make a little fun. He says, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Baal, you know, he's supposed to be a god. He might be traveling. He might be talking. He may even be asleep. Why don't you cry a little louder to wake him up? They begin to holler. They begin to scream. They jump. They even cut themselves. Blood is gushing out. Hallelujah. But Baal didn't show up. Hallelujah. And it comes down to the evening sacrifice. Here, we begin to find Elijah's by himself. He prepares the wood. He gets 12 stones representing the 12 sons of Jacob. He puts them around. He makes even a trench all the way around his sacrifice. Puts the bullock there. Cuts it up and puts it there. And then have the nerve to tell them to take these 4 barrels of water, fill them up, and pour it on the sacrifice. Water and fire don't mix. He had the nerve that, well, you did it one time. That's 4 barrels. Do it again. They pour 4 more barrels. That's a total of 8. He said, do it again. They pour on again. Here, 12 barrels of water. Hallelujah. Here's a wet sacrifice. Wet wood. Wet dirt. The stones are even wet. But hallelujah, we got a God that's able to do, as I said before, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he said, Lord, hallelujah, this is your servant. Now show them, hallelujah, because see, they got to see something. That's why it's through signs and wonders. He said, Lord, show them that I'm your servant and that I've done this at your word. The Bible said as soon as he asked the Lord, immediately fire fell from heaven. And the Bible said it did 5 things. The scripture said that it burned up the sacrifice. The scripture said, hallelujah, that it burned up the wood. The scripture said that it even burned up the stones. The scripture said that it burned up that wet dirt, dust, and finally, it licked up the water. Hallelujah. J-E-S-U-S. 5. J-E-S-U-S. Here we begin to find, hallelujah, that the people looked and they saw this miraculous thing. And they said, the Lord be God. The Lord be God. The Lord be God. I want somebody to recognize that God is God today. I want somebody to shout that God is God today. God don't never change. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. The same God that did that for Elijah will do it for you. But you gotta ease on down the road. Elijah finished his mission. He accomplished his task. And moving on in time, we get to 2 Kings chapter 2. The Lord is coming. See, we're working
to gain a uncorruptible crown. We're going looking for that building not made by hand, eternal in the heavens. We're going looking for heaven to be our home. And here, scripture allows us to know the Lord was coming for Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2. As he's going, he's got his helper, Elisha, with him. They go to Gilgal first. Then he tells Elisha, stay here because the Lord is sending me on to Bethel. He says, no, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go, let you out of my sight. I'm not going to do it. He said, well, I got to ease on down the road. He's easing on down to Bethel. He gets there and the prophets that are there, don't you know that the Lord is coming after your master today? Yes, but don't say nothing about it. I don't want to see him go, but don't say nothing. Be quiet. They go on. He's easing on down. And as he gets there and told him, he said, now I want you to stay here because the Lord is calling me even further. He says, I've got to go on a little bit further. I can't stay here. I've got to go a little further. As he goes on, he lets him know, I've got to go to Jericho. As he goes to Jericho, them at Jericho said, well, don't you know that your master's going to leave with you today? He said, yeah, be quiet. Don't say nothing about it. He said, well, he tells Elijah, you stay here because the Lord is sending me even over Jordan. He says, no, I can't. I'm going with you. So they ease on down the road together. As they ease on down to Jordan, he takes his mantle, strikes the waters apart. They cross over Jordan. Get there. He said, well, it's finally time for me to go and tell you, Elisha, I'm leaving you today. I'm going to where the Lord is today. And you can't go there now, not now. But tell me what you want. He said, well, I want a double portion of what you got. I want a double portion of your spirit. I want to be able to have it like you have. I want to be able to call on God and get an answer through. I want to be able to be so close with the Lord that he comes to my aid and my rescue. I want to have it just like you have, but I want a double portion of it. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. He said, but if you see me when I go up, it'll be granted to thee. Scripture says they keep walking and talking. And while they're walking and talking, easing on down, that the whirlwind, the chariots of the Lord of fire, come down and part them. Elisha's looking as Elijah goes up. Oh, he's in amazement of what he's seen. But he got to see his master raptured up. Child of God, as I close today, I'm planning on seeing Jesus. I'm planning on seeing Jesus. I had an assignment, and I have an assignment to witness to everyone I come in contact with who Jesus is. I have an assignment to let you know that you need a brain. You say, I got a brain. But you need to know who Jesus is, because everybody don't know who Jesus is. I want to tell you, you need a new heart. You need to tell the Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You need to be a new creature in Christ. And I want you to realize that you ought to have enough courage to step out of your car and walk down these steps if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name. And say, I'm not going to be a scarecrow. I'm not going to be a cowardly lion. I'm not going to be a tin man anymore. I'm not going to follow folk just because they say follow me. But I want to do the will of God and get what God has for me. I want to be real. And so I'm telling you to ease on out of your car. Ease on down these steps and come on down to
to the water and be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because when you begin to walk this Christian walk, God is with you. Hallelujah. And will protect you. And will continue to give you courage that you need in this race. That's why I'm offering Jesus to you today. I'm telling you to follow him. Because if you follow him, then you're going to be able to make it. And that's why Paul told the church in Thessalonians. It says you got to know how you ought to always walk. You need to know how you do. And do the will of God and keep his commandments. Because the day is going to come when Jesus himself will step out in space. The trump is going to sound. The voice of the archangel. And he's going to say, come my people. Scripture said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But see, it starts by you easing on down. And say, I want to get in this way because I'm trying to find my way with Jesus. I want to ease on that.
Yes.
Hallelujah, because I need to walk with Jesus. I've been walking all kind of ways, but now it's time to walk with the Lord. You've been doing everything that the devil wanted you to do before, but now it's time to change partners and get you another partner to walk with. And his name is Jesus. He won't leave you forsaken. He won't leave you by the rope. He won't laugh at you. But hallelujah, he'll protect you. Hallelujah, he'll guard you. He'll strengthen you. He'll teach you. And he'll come to your rescue. Whenever you need him, he will command things for you. He will command doors to open. He will command things to happen. And they will happen for your benefit. And so that others will see the Jesus in you. Ease on down the road. Ease on out of the car. Ease on down the steps. Ease on to the pool. Ease on. Because I don't want you to carry nothing, this heavy load. See, y'all, some of you are carrying something that you need to let go. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's time for you to lay your burden down. Lay your habit down. Lay aside every weight and the sin. Everything ain't sin, but you got some stuff that's keeping you from seeing Jesus. You got some stuff you've been holding on to for 40 years. Let it go. And ease on down the road. Ease on down. I can't. That's because you're a coward. The Lord can't use you a coward soldier. I can't. That's because I'm trying to tell you, but you're so full of your own wisdom. You need a new brain. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's time to get a new mind, get some new thoughts, get in the book, get in the word of God for yourself and say, Lord, open up, reveal it to me. Somebody's got a bad heart. You're suffering from heart trouble. But I'm here to let you know, as a songwriter said, he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. I'm here to tell you that he can work on your heart. He can work on your mind. And most importantly, when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll have boldness to stand. Hallelujah. And when you've done all, you'll still stand. Because the Holy Ghost will rear up in you. I'm not here because I'm all that. I'm here because Jesus is all that. I'm not standing here for myself. I'm standing here because I represent J-E-S-U-S. And because God is able to do something for you. The Lord may come
before we get back here next Sunday. Amen. Will you be ready? Think about that. And count the people that die between now and then. If the Lord should allow you or I or any of us to make it to next week. So many people are thinking we're going to make it. But you call any funeral home this week and they'll be packed. Full. They'll have somebody. I don't want them to have my body until it's time for me to go to see who Jesus is. Ease on down the road. Ease on down. So, well, I got to think about it. In the whiz, they're singing as they're easing on down the road. Somebody ought to be singing in your car, "On Christ the solid rock I stand on." Go do it in the right key. It's sinking sand. In sand, on Christ the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand on the ground. It's sinking, yes, and on Christ the solid rock. For the people that have heard, Lord, don't let it go out cold, but touch somebody's heart, touch somebody's mind, let somebody have courage enough to come to thee. They ought not worry about what somebody else is looking at, what somebody else is saying, because they've got to go to heaven for themselves. Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself. You got to go to heaven or hell for you. Nobody else is going to burn for you. Think about it.
All right.
Lord, touch somebody. Touch somebody. Touch somebody's mind. Somebody's heart. It's time to go home with you. It's critical. Critical time. We're living in perilous days. You are soon to come. People need to get right or they're going to be left. But they've heard it today, oh God. Worry them all day, all night, until they make a decision to do thy will. Hallelujah. Decide to follow you. To decide to get covered. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Touch right now. Bless spiritually, physically, mentally, financially. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord, your people. Touch those that are sick. Those that have been suffering with COVID. Lord, deliver. Provide victory. Bless your people, Lord. Hallelujah. That we'll continue to stand boldly before you. To do thy will. To do our assignments that you have given us. Lord, right now, oh God. Bless, Lord, because this is holy ground. Lord, touch somebody. Touch somebody, Lord. Heal, deliver. Those that are traveling, bring them back safely, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, that we'll praise and magnify your name. Give somebody another chance, Lord, to get back to you. Forgive somebody. Give them another opportunity to get it right. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's not promised, but Lord, give them an opportunity to get it right in the name of Jesus. Now we come against Satan. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. 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 On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Hallelujah. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. 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 What I say unto what?
The ground.
I say unto all. Watch and get it right in Jesus' name. Whoa.